Matt Maiocco last seen in the line for the urinal at the Giants Padres game Friday night.
Fair enough.
Maddie, there you were. We all had to be in the same place. I turn around. There you Matt were. Maiocco. There
what are you doing here, Maddie? Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was great. Yeah. Always. You know, it's funny. I told Sarah, my wife, that hey, I saw Murph and Rory in the line at the. In the urinal, and her wasn't like, oh, how are they doing? It was, do you continue to talk while you're in the bathroom? Well, like, are you standing next to each other? No. There are codes here, and the conversation stops once you approach where it is you're going to be doing your thing. And that's kind of like the man code, right? And so I said, no, that's, and she was very curious about, like, the dynamics and the protocol.
The dynamics.
And, you know, the unwritten rules.
Right.
I want Gabe Kapler to talk about the unwritten rules of urinals.
Which is interesting because one of my most fond encounters with a major celebrity happened to be during a urinal conversation.
Oh,
Dodger Stadium 2000. I'm covering the A's interleague ball. Dodgers A's, I head to the urinal in between innings, and in walks the man.
This is unbelievable, this conversation.
Candlestick is a madhouse. Vin Scully walks in.
Oh, man.
And I happened to take, I don't know why, I just took that lower one just because it was like there, and I was a little nervous because Vin was there. And Vin started relieving himself next to me.
Oh, boy.
There was a little blue wall between us.
Maddie? I know.
And Vin turns to me, and he says, I never use that one. Too much splash. That's what he said.
Wow.
And that was it.
Wow. That is phenomenal. Now, we both have, we're eating up our time here, but we have a mutual friend who I remember specifically, like, went to the restroom, came back, and he was furious, like, red face. and I said, well, you know, he's like just muttering, you know, every word. He's like, what happened?
He came back furious.
He came back furious because he stood at the urinal. The guy next to him started talking, which then made our friend not be able to take care of the business he had to.
Mm.
So he came back. He still came back with a full bladder because something happened. Something triggered in him where he could not go. He could not finish the job.
Well, this is unfortunate.
Didn't Cheech and Chong call it stage fright?
Stage fright, for sure. It's a commonly heard term. Now, Murph is – here's a crazy thing, Maddie. I don't know how we got into this. I can tell you, as Murph's partner all these years, that's not the only celebrity urinal story he has.
That's
how crazy is that?
There's another one.
Hit him with another one.
Maddie, remember when I had an uncomfortable interview with Jed York a few years ago?
Oh, yeah.
The whole Bay Area, remember.
I didn't see him again until the day they hired Chip Kelly.
Oh, here we go.
And I went down to Santa Clara for it, and I went into the men's room, and there was one man and one man only, Jed York.
Was he already positioned, or
and
was he
stood at the urinal?
Around?
He was finishing up and washing his hands while I was doing the business.
And you can't turn around and leave now.
Spoke. Yeah. We made eye contact. We spoke. We nodded and then said, hey, big day. And he said, yeah. He said, well, I think we'll bring some offense back. I think we're going to score some points. And I said, well, I guess that's the idea, huh? And he said, yeah, have a good one. He took off. And I said, I called it the urinal summit because it was our breaking of bread, so to speak.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's,
And as you said, Maddie,
how'd those points work out with Chip, by the way?
Well, listen, what do you go, 1-15, I think, right?
hey,
I know we want to get to the Dwight. Yes, we want to get to Dwight Clark legacy.
What do? They send him to UCLA and...
Tormenting me to this day. Although apparently we just picked up some big running back out of San Diego. Anyway, point being, we'll get to Dwight Clark in just a minute. We got to check the boxes of what you've seen down there. Waterboy played Trey Lance coming back.
Mm-hmm.
The comfortable Trey Lance. Your thoughts, Maddie?
Well, my thoughts, and I don't know how much you guys have talked about this. I did, by the way, listen to your Patrick Willis interview. That was great. But, you know, Kyle Shanahan, through stubbornness or whatever, you know, he doesn't announce a starting quarterback. He didn't last year. You know, I asked him kind of tongue-in-cheek at the owners' meetings in March, you know, who's your starting quarterback? And he's like, oh, here we go again, huh? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. But he did announce that he still expects Jimmy Garoppolo to not be on the team when the season starts. He said that he expects He obviously parenthetically said, there are no guarantees, but he said he still expects the 49ers to trade Jimmy Garoppolo. Jimmy Garoppolo has not spoken to the new quarterback's coach, Brian Greasy. Heck, he hasn't even spoken to George Kittle since they cleaned out their lockers. So I'm putting on my Sherlock Holmes hat, and I'm saying that, well, if the 49ers do not expect Jimmy Garoppolo to be on the team, then I can deduce from that that they don't expect him to be the starting quarterback. So that leaves it among Trey Lance, Nate Sudfeld, and Brock Purdy. This is my long way of saying the 49ers confirmed, basically. Not basically. They said to the world, Kyle Shanahan did, that he expects Trey Lance to be the starting quarterback. So Trey Lance looks the part. He talks the part. He acts the part. He sent text messages welcoming all the draft picks to the team. He's taking ownership, and you can see it in his body language on the field and certainly the way he approached the lectern and spoke to us in the media on Tuesday. So, we can parse, how he looks on the practice field. What I found out through the years is really none of that matters. I mean, probably the guy who looked the best on the practice field that I've ever seen since covering the 49ers was Brian Hoyer during that summer when the 49ers in 2017. So it really doesn't matter, how a guy looks on the practice field. I think this time of year it's more, what's he doing behind the scenes, the relationships he's forming, the leadership role that he's taking, and all. Probably what's most important this time of the year is the stuff that we don't see. And from all indications, talking to guys on both sides of the football, Trey Lance is acing that part of the test.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
So why do you think there's a bubbling narrative or bubbling rumor that he's not ready and they missed on the pick and they whiffed? It's all, by the way, it's all just kind of in the background, whispers, rumors.
A lot of whispers.
Well, the one guy in Philly went public and said underwhelmed. Where's the disconnect there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why. I mean, I guess it's because they haven't played a game in quite some time, and he's an unknown quantity. I don't know why. I mean, the fact of the matter is the 49ers don't know if he's ready. Trey Lance, I'm sure, has tons of confidence. But in the very back of his mind, he doesn't know if he's ready. And it's like becoming a parent. You're never ready. You're never ready to become a parent. You're never ready to become an NFL starting quarterback. You just have to go for it. You just have to, have children and learn how to parent on the fly, just like you have to learn to become an NFL starting quarterback. And, he will have horrible games. He will have good games. He will, the 49ers hope that he has a lot more good games than horrible games. And it's how you handle all of that and how you bounce back from, a pick in the early part of the fourth quarter. And if you get the ball back, do you put that out of your mind and still be able to lead the team down the field for the game tying or game winning points? So, so much of this, anybody who says, Trey Lance is going to be a bust, just like anybody who says Trey Lance is going to be one of the top seven quarterbacks in the league, everyone's guessing. Nobody knows. And so, this is the time of year, I think, where everybody makes predictions and tries to forecast how players are going to perform and how teams are going to perform. And it all, as our friend Ira Miller always said, that's why they play the games.
Except he said it like this.
That's why they play the games.
That's what he says. That was my Ira impression.
I like
impression.
It. I've heard it before. I like that one, Maddie.
Ira was so great. He was so great. Hey, Maddie, I know we're short on time. We got Kevin Harlan swinging about in the on-deck circle. Let's talk about the next Wednesday. Matt, Paulie and I are going to be there at the Lesher Center in Walnut Creek for the Dwight Clark Legacy Series event, June 1st, dwightclarkaward.com. Want to make another pitch here, bud?
Yeah, no, it'll be great. It's a great cause. Dwight Clark, I will say this, two weeks before he passed, he asked if, the letters that fans sent to him could become a book. And I said, I don't know that it can, but, us at NBC Sports Bay Area, we can do a documentary and hopefully there can be a book. And I mean, it was one of the last things he said to me, Murph, you were there that day. I'm sure you heard him say it. He said, whatever becomes of this, please make sure that any money raised goes to the Golden Heart Fund. I mean, that was like the last thing he ever said to me. And you're in the room that day. And so this is carrying on that legacy. It's Dwight Clark. It's all about him, what he meant to not only the organization, but to the Bay Area and just I don't know, the game of football.
Yeah. Well, look at the people who are coming, Maddie. I mean, just to speak to that. I mean, we just talked to Patrick Willis. He's not, he doesn't do a lot of public events.
He really doesn't.
Oh, yeah. And so, and these guys are not coming from, all from the Bay Area. I mean, they're coming from across. I mean, Brian Young lives in Charlotte.
Yeah.
And
right.
He's coming to this.
Right.
T.O., I think, is in Atlanta. And, Patrick bounces back and forth, I think, a little bit. But this is a big deal, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be so much fun because when these guys get up on stage, you see their personalities. And, I mean, Charles Haley and Steve Young are going to be on the same stage, and I'm going to be kind of moderating that panel of welcoming Bryant Young to the group. And who knows, I might even ask, how much interaction did you have with the players on the offensive side of the ball? And let's see where that goes from there and what Steve Young might have to say about that. But it'll be fun for a great cause. And it's the cause that the Dwight Clark said, this is my charity of choice. I want to take care of my guys. His guys are those that receive assistance, a hand up, not a handout from the Golden Heart Fund. So it'll be great. And I'll be mingling around. So I love meeting these fans who are so passionate. And the last time we had an event at the Lesher Center, and this is a great venue, by the way, but they don't have events like this much. They have performances, they have a speaker series and all that. But the energy in the building, all the people at the Lesher Center the last time we were there were like, oh my gosh, we have to have more sporting events, more sporting things like this because, they almost blew the roof off the joint because of just the energy and the passion. And I expect nothing less than that on Wednesday, June 1st. You can get your tickets at dwightclarkaward.com. All the proceeds go to a great cause, the cause that Dwight Clark championed.
Perfectly said. DwightClarkAward.com. See you next Wednesday, Maddie.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
Murph, until next time, in line at the urinal.
Well, I'll see you at the urinal at Lesher
Center.
Of course.
All right. Of course.
There you go. All right, there you go.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.